Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
I want us to get right into the Word tonight because there are storms coming this way, and I want to get out ASAP, as soon as we can. I don't want anybody driving around, especially our children in the vans. I don't want them driving around in all the storms and stuff. Look with me in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. It will be on your screen for your convenience. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. When you find it, shall praise the Lord. All right, it's on your screen. It says, "For God," everybody say, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power," everybody say power, "and of love, and of a sound mind." Tonight I want to be talking about, and we're calling it Operation, and this is going to be a series we'll put together, but tonight we're going to be talking about removing the fear out of your life. Has anybody ever had an operation on your body? I have. I think some of you, well, I know my wife has three for sure. So we're going to be talking about removing the fear out of your life. So let's pray and ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you, and we're so thankful for this privilege to stand behind this sacred desk and to present your infallible word. We ask this word go forth in power and in demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And we give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. We pray, and everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I don't know if you could see this up here tonight, but with a show of hand, how many has ever played this game right here, Operation? Can you see it okay? You remember this game, Operation? Has anybody ever played it? Do you have it at home? Do you remember, you ever played this, Sister Charlotte, this game, Operation? It's quite an old game. Not saying that you're old, but just have, it's an older game. But I want to ask you some questions. I know you can't see this, but who is this guy? Does anybody know who he is? Anybody know his name? Can anybody guess? Do you know what his name is? His name is Cavity Sam. Did you know that? Cavity Sam. Now, what are his ailments? Can anybody guess what those ailments were? He has the things that you have to remove. You remember? You take it. Basically, if you've never played the game, you just take it. You try to grab something. And if you hit the metal, what happens? I don't know if you can hear that. You hear that? It buzzes, and then you're out, right? Now they've got, like, money and cards and stuff with it. But his ailments, if you can remember, these are what his ailments were. His ailments, they are his Adam's apple, his wrenched ankle, his butterflies. Anybody ever had butterflies in the stomach? His butterflies in the stomach, his spare rib, his water on the knee, his funny bone, his Charlie horse, his writer's cramp. What is a writer's cramp? It's the little pencil. His wishbone, his brain freeze, his ankle bone, which is connected to the knee bone. And I have that rubber band. It's a rubber band, if you remember that. And then, what was the last one? Anybody remember what the last one is? The last one is his broken heart. You guys remember that? It's amazing that we could use this game and truly get a message out of this. And I want to say this. I think everyone who has ever played Operation, you experience some type of anxiety while trying to remove one of Cavity Sam's ailments. We do. We get a little nervous when we're trying to pull that on. We don't want it to buzz. But today what I want to talk about, I want to talk about the anxiety that we face when affliction shows up. When affliction shows up. Listen to what Psalms 34 and verse 19 says. It'll be on your screen. It says, many are. Think about that. Many are. He didn't say just a few, but he says, many are the afflictions of the righteousness, those that are right standing with God. But I love the second part of this verse. It says, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Every one of those afflictions, God delivers us. Now, Brother Vernon, this is what I'm concerned about. If that verse is true, how many believe in the Bible that the Bible's true? If this verse is true, if God delivers us out of all our affliction, then why do we fear? Why do we fear? Why are we afraid? Why do we worry? Why do we have anxiety? Why are we insecure? Why are we troubled? If God says that He delivers us out of them all, then why do we fear? I believe that what God wants to do, God wants to remove the fear out of our lives. I truly believe that. I believe this is so crucial for us today. On Saturday, March the 4th, and you can put this up if you will, Pastor Crystal. On Saturday, March the 4th, 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt gave his first inaugural address to a nation that was facing a national crisis, which was the Great Depression. And unknowingly, they didn't know at the time that this nation, would be headed to the world's second war. Out of context, President Franklin Roosevelt, which is repeated many, many times in his first inaugural statement, he says this. Who remembers his famous statement? It says, "The only thing to fear is fear itself." Very famous statement. It's something that we all quote. But if what he says right there, the only thing to fear is fear itself, that statement alone is not accurate. I want you to think about this. It's not an accurate statement. This is what his inaugural address says, and I looked it up and I wanted to get everything in context. This is what he says that day. He says, "So first of all, let me assert my belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert, retreat in advance." In other words, the fear that the nation had was paralyzing them. Instead of moving forward and taking care of business, they were retreating. And he was trying to encourage a nation to move forward. So in context, the unjustified terror and fear that paralyzes us to retreat is an important thought. But it isn't the only element of fear that we must confront. We're talking tonight about removing the fear out of our lives. On October 5th, and you got to know this, there is an element of fear that must be present in our lives at all times. But I want you to hear this next story. On October 5th, 1989, I remember this very well. I had just graduated and I started college when this took place. On October 5th, 1989, televangelist Jim Baker was found guilty of 24 counts of fraud and conspiracy, and he was sentenced to 45 years for his crimes. Who remembers that? After being paroled in 1994, he was asked a question by one of his close friends, another preacher. His friend said, "Brother Jim, when did you fall out of love with God?" And this is what Jim Baker said to him. Jim Baker looked back at him and he said this. He said, "I never fell out of love with God. I lost the fear of God. I lost the fear of God." I want you to see these two stories out of the book of Acts. They are very important. Acts chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it upon the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And look what happens. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. Now I'm going to show you another story a few chapters down in the book of Acts. Chapter 19, look with me real quick. Acts 19 and verse 13, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And look what happens. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So what was the common result with lying to the Holy Spirit and with attempting to confront an evil spirit? What was the common result? You read it. I read it to you. This is the thing that was in common with both two of those incidents. The fear of God fell on them. I don't know about you, but I'm asking God to send a revival. No, not some hot evangelist that can play the piano and can sing. I'm asking God to bring a revival of the fear of the Lord back in and on the people of God. What good is it doing if we are watching God do great things and yet nobody has an authentic, genuine fear of God in their lives anymore? Brother Vernon, I remember services in Gospel Lighthouse Church where the holy hush of the presence of God would fall. If you've never experienced the holy hush of God, it's when the thick cloud of glory falls in a sanctuary and not one person dare move because they can recognize, their spirit man recognizes that God is in the house. Not a baby crying, nobody making any noise, and the house is full of people and they sense God's presence. God, get us back to the place where we reverence the house of God and train our children to do the same. Can somebody shout hallelujah? I think we spend more time on our phone to even think about the fear of God. Why do we need the fear of God back into our lives? I mean, if you're Jim Baker, you'll say, well, so I won't go to prison, right? If you're Ananias, so I won't rob God of paying tithes or funds. If you're the seven sons of Sceva, it's so I'll have the power and the strength and the anointing to cast out devils and not be embarrassed in front of my father, the priest, and people that are around. But here, I think I want to make it as simple as I can, and the answer is in our opening text. Why do we need the fear of God restored back into our lives? This is it. These three things. For power, for love, and for a sound mind. I want you to think about this. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I like what the Amplified Version says. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Brings a lot of things to light when you look at it that way. In the game of operation, we have this game, and I like this game. And in this game of operation, it's all about removing, right? Removing something, removing the writer's cramp, removing the broken heart, whatever it may be, the wishbone. It's all about removing something in this game of operation. But this is the thing. It is never about replacing something. Now, I want you to think about this. One of the most important principles of God is when something bad is removed, it must be replaced with something good. The scriptural. Look at with me in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, what would be the unclean spirit? Well, it's the spirit of fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. So when the unclean spirit, whatever it may be, spirits of lust, rage, hate, whatever it could be, but when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. Then he says, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and they dwell there. Now look at this next part. We miss this next part. It says, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Here it is. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. What's that mean? That means the last state of this generation is becoming worse than the first because the church has lost the fear of God and is failing to replace God's power, His love, and a sound mind in the vacuums of our lives. Boy, that's powerful. I want you to think about that. So we want people to be delivered. We want people to be set free. But we need to know that once that liberty takes place, we must be the church prepared to show them how they can receive the love, the power, and the sound mind to fill those vacuums in their life. Is that okay? Say amen. So here's three procedures to be removed, to be replaced. Number one, be on your screen. Remove the spirit of fear for God's power. What does the scripture say? Luke 10 and 19, behold, I give you unto you power. That's what he says. I give you unto you power. Everybody say power. I give you unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And over all, what's it say? The power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, one of the things that Jesus, and I didn't include it in this message, but one of the things that need to be said is that we don't need to go on a power, you know, what do they call that? Like a power trip. We don't know go on a power trip because Jesus says immediately after that verse, he says, don't rejoice because the devil, the spirits of the devil, the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That needs to be said. But we need to walk in God's power. We sure do. And so as we lay on this operating table, here we got Cavity Sam. As we lay on this operating table, let's allow God to fill us with power. Maybe, though, there's something that needs to be removed so he can replace it with his power. That's for you to decide. Number two, remove the spirit of fear for perfect love. Everybody say perfect love. God is love. God is love. I had a young man come to me. He attends our church. He came to me and he said, Pastor JC, I really want to know a little bit more about the Bible. Where can I start studying? And it was just simple. I said, hey, start looking at this thought, the verse where it says God is love. When you go from there, you got that figured out, you're on the right track. Amen? Remove the spirit of fear for perfect love. Look at 1 John 4 and 18. The Bible says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Not all fear, because there has to be an element of fear present. We're going to be talking about that here in a few moments. But perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. You know, you could sit there and dwell on the afflictions that are going on in your life. I've had to do that. I mean, that's happened in my life. Not that I had to, but I've had to do that. I had to make that move and say, no more am I going to dwell on this disease, this syndrome, whatever it is. I'm not going to sit there and dwell on it. I'm going to dwell on God's word. I had to make that distinguish. And I think everybody understands that. And so we have to say, I'm not going to allow it to torment me. Because if you sit there and dwell on it, or set and dwell on your children, or dwell on your finances, or dwell on all the problems, all it's going to do is produce fear, and it's going to bring torment in your mind. Amen? So as we lay on the operating table, here we are, we're laying on the operating table like Cavity Sam, let's allow God to fill us with His perfect love. Man, that's what I want. I want to walk in that perfect love. Last one, number three. Remove the spirit of fear for a renewed mind. Everybody say a renewed mind. This is what the Bible says about the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1 and 7 says the fear, be on your screen. Proverbs 1 and 7 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what is knowledge stored in your mind. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9 and 10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is stored in your mind. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Wisdom is the application of knowledge, by the way. Proverbs 8 and 13, I like this one. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Wow. So as I lay on the operating table, just like Cavity Sam's laying on, I want God, I want Him to renew my mind. All right. So He's removing things, He's replacing it, and He's bringing me the power, the love, and the sound mind. So how do I apply this to my life? 2 Timothy 1:7 said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind." So let me ask you this question. Is there the spirit of fear in your life? Is there the spirit of fear tormenting you in your life? I used to have a fear of heights. I've overcome that. When I began flying, I had a fear of flying. God gave me grace and mercy. Overcome that. Especially when you take 7 flights in 7 days, you have no choice but to trust the Lord. I had fears of big. Brother Vernon, I was raised on a farm. And we took care of 40 black Angus cattle, and they had one big bull, and they called him Big Boy. And every time my mom would scream at us when we were out in the yard in Okarchee playing, she would say, "Boys, Big Boy is out." He would break through the fence and would take the neighbors with their horses to get him back in, corralled back into the pasture. But when she said that, we knew that Big Boy was crazy, and he was literally a crazy bull. They ended up putting him down. They said some of the Mexicans that came and hauled hay for us, they said the bull had ate loco weed, and that's why he acted the way he did. But there for a long time, I was afraid of cattle. I was afraid to be around, especially big bulls. I was just a little child, but I was afraid to be around him. And it wasn't until Miss Kramer took me over to her house, and she had hundreds, I don't know how many, of Holsteins, dairy cattle. And then I had to work those dairy cattle and sweep those floors and wash them up and stuff. She would get mad at me if I was being a little scared going around. She said, "Come on, John Kerry, get over here and make me walk over there and face my fear." Okay? So we all have had some element of fear in our life. Is there a spirit of fear? But just something I want you to ask yourself right now. Is there the spirit of fear in your life? I believe the best way to make true and pure application of this message is to allow God to operate on you by giving God full access to your life. Just like Cavity Sam here. And God's saying, "All right, this is you guys. This is us." And God's saying, "All right, trust me. Do you trust me?" Like Brother Dale preaches, "Do you trust me?" Or then he says, "Can I trust you?" And it's like going to the dentist, and the dentist is working on your teeth, and he's like, "Hold still. Can I trust you to hold still?" And you're like, "I don't want to do it." But here you go. And then God wants to get in, and He wants to take care of that broken heart. He wants to fill you with His love. He wants to take that brain freeze where we have allowed the issues of life, the afflictions of life, to paralyze our thinking. And He wants us to renew our mind. So He takes it and He goes in and He replaces it and gives us the mind of Christ. Isn't that awesome? Whoops. I don't want God to buzz me like that. I've been buzzed by the Lord. Have you? And God, we want God to give us the power of God. We want Him to help us, to teach us to walk in that power. I want to walk in that anointing, the power of God. Think about that. Peter, even his shadow was so anointed that people would pass through his shadow and they would be healed. They would take the handkerchiefs of Paul and they would just pass articles of clothing around and they would touch the clothes and they were healed. That's the power of God. Why do we have so much anxiety? We're the head and not the tail. It's time to stand up and say, look, I am a child of God. I am chosen by Him. I am a royal priesthood. I am His child. Greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. So, Romans 8 and 15 says this. It'll be on your screen. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This is what this is saying. It's saying that the community of God, in other words, the children of God, the community of God, is not transactional, but it's relational. And I think sometimes we think that's how we are to respond with God. I do something, He does something for me. It's not like that. We have a relationship with God. He loves us. He cares for us. God is our Father, and we His children. And He blesses us even when we are messed up. Even when we make mistakes and say things we should have never said, or even operate in fear and doubt and unbelief, He's still our Father, and He still loves us, and He still cares for us. Look at Matthew, before you put Matthew up, we don't have to be anxious anymore about anything perplexing our lives. We don't have to be anxious anymore. We don't have to be fearful anymore, whatever it is. And listen, I'm going to be preaching Sunday morning about being called in someone else's storm. I'm telling you, storms are on the horizon. Literally, storms are on the horizon. So I'm trying to get you out of here as quick as I can. But we have to know that God is with us and He's our Father. Now, Matthew 7 and verse 11. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? And that is the personality, the characteristic, the attribute of God, our Father. We're full of evil at times, but He still wants the best for us. Man, that's awesome. I love Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, be careful. That word careful in the Greek is actually the word anxious. Be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what if we all allowed tonight God operate? Nobody wants to go to surgery, but it's needed. If we truly want to be the child, the person, the pastor, the teacher, whoever, whatever, prophet, whatever God has called us to be, if we truly want to be that person, worship leader, mother, father, friend, we have to say, God, okay, I give you full access. When we were in Florida, you heard the story. Caleb and Contavious, their jet ski broke down in the big bay there at Destin. And we couldn't find them. We went searching for them in a pontoon boat. And it was too dangerous to drive that pontoon boat all around in that area. The waves were real big. We almost sunk it. It was not good. And everybody on that boat was so anxious. And they were warning. They were calling the Coast Guard and trying to find out. And what had happened is Caleb and Tay's jet ski broke down and they were just drifting. And they drifted for miles. We couldn't even see them. And the Coast Guard had a specialized telescope where they're able to locate them. And they found them. But I'll never forget everybody on that boat. And Pastor Carl's like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Pastor Crystal was all upset and she was crying. And Noah was on the phone texting Tay's girlfriend saying, we can't find him. We think he's drowned. And all of these thoughts were plaguing everybody. And the poor children, they had to hear all that. I sat in a boat and Pastor Carl looked at me and he said, and I'm not lifting myself up or anything, but I just had peace in my heart at that time. Somebody needed peace. And Pastor Carl looked at me and he said, Pastor, do you think it's okay? You think they're okay? And I looked at him and I said, Carl, all is well. in the midst of this crisis and the afflictions, because I stand on God's word, all is well. And I told Carl, I said, listen, that these boys have a bright future. God is not going to allow this to their future be to disrupted. And God's not going to allow that. They've got callings on their lives. God's not going to allow that. So we have to think that way. Because if we don't, we'll be tormented by fear. Let's stand together. What if we all allowed God to operate? Father, I want you to operate on us. I want you to operate on us. If there's someone here, if you're here tonight, and you say, Pastor JC, this message has been for me. I have been struggling with anxiety, with fear, and I need this. I know that God has not given me the spirit of fear, and I want freedom. I want liberty. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. God knows who you are. But I want you to know that go to God. Surrender to Him and say, okay, God, operate on me. Remove the things that don't belong there. And then replace it with your love, your power, and sound mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says,
to find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.